Meg Gillard will come and share the gospel reading.
This is a reading from the book of Luke, chapter 1, 26 through 38. In the 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this could be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I am a virgin." The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the 6th month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her.
At Bible study Tuesday night, I was reminded that I need to give my at least annual, if not more often, word. Yes, I know there are skeptics in our midst. We are a range from those who take this story, these birth stories, very literally or somewhat literally to very metaphorically or somewhat metaphorically. There's this whole range here in this room. So if angels bother you and you're not sure what you think, you might want to talk to Marty and a couple other folks in our midst, but the point is, divine messengers, an encounter with God, a spiritual experience, a sense of call. Most of us know a little something about that. Or if we don't personally, we certainly know people who do. And then there's the whole virgin business, right? I'm always glad when Linda Nicholson's in the house, because I figure if a quantum physicist says it doesn't bother her, she can believe the miracles in the virgin birth, then I'm probably in good standing. But if you don't, I don't care. It's not the point. It became the point for a lot of people, right? But the point, I think, is that Mary had a powerful spiritual experience, a divine encounter that told her she was going to have a huge undertaking, raising a very, very special child who had a very special mission, who had a unique, powerful relationship to God. I think we can all accept that. If you can't, hang on. It's still a great story that has truths for you to glean. So we call this encounter the Annunciation because the angel announces to Mary what's going to happen. I like, in our Advent resource books, the way Aaron Wathen calls it, a call and response. Because it's not just the angel announcing. Mary has to respond. Mary gets to respond. Richard Rohr writes that Mary's yes seemed to be essential for the event of incarnation. God does not come in uninvited. God and grace cannot enter without an opening from our side. Or we would be mere robots. And God doesn't want robots. God wants lovers who freely choose to love in return. So we have Mary's yes. Let it be according to your word. And I love the fact that this "let it be" is the same Greek verb as in the Genesis account of creation when God says, "Let it be creation. Let there be light. Let there be earth. Let there be living things." It's the same word. So Mary is called to be a co-creator with God in this new thing God is trying to do through Jesus. And we are called to be co-creators with God in what God is trying to do now in the world, in us. Letting God's incarnate presence be in us. Letting Christ be born in us is the work always of faith. There's a Sojourners article this month by a woman named Julie Dotterwich Dunby, and I just love the title, that in Advent we are waiting for a love that will undo us. Sit with that. We all know a little bit about that, don't we? True love with any person in some way undoes you. Those of you who've had the privilege of being pregnant certainly knows that that love will undo you, having done that through that experience with our daughter so recently. But all of us who are parents know about a love that will undo you. And those of you who are not parents, you still know about it. We all know about it. That true love, really loving someone, opens you up in ways you cannot predict and cannot control. It makes you vulnerable in ways that can be both terrifying and beautiful. Both. So the call is to be opening again and again our lives to God, to say yes, to say, "Let it be according to your will. Thy will be done." Don't be afraid, the angel says. And her response shows her move toward fearlessness. Not that she wasn't afraid, I think, but more that fear wasn't going to determine what would happen next. At least that's how I work. It's not that I'm not afraid. I just try to choose not to let fear run my life. Right? So let's just say clearly that this Mary we read about in this story is not the gentle Mary, meek and mild, of a lot of the church tradition. She is a young woman who has a direct personal encounter with God, who responds to that call with a strong yes, a Mary who shows strength and courage. I think it's fascinating to just compare Zechariah and Mary. Zechariah, the old man, the priest, the guardian of traditions and rituals, who went into the Holy of Holies, where you should expect God to be, and is shocked when God actually shows up. And Zechariah, in his doubting, is silent. Stop talking, get out of your head, just sit and pay attention for a while. But Mary, who is young and poor and female and nobody and now pregnant, is given a voice and a song. She's not told to be quiet. She's told to sing. And she does. The Magnificat is the longest passage by any woman in all the Gospels. Maybe in the whole Bible, for that matter. Now, maybe Mary didn't write the Magnificat. We can't, again, skeptics go to town. The point is, this is Mary's, in the tradition, this is who Mary was. This is a Mary that the tradition knew was not just your mamby-pamby, I'll do whatever the men say. That was not who Mary must have been. Mary is given a prophetic voice by Luke, a strong voice, a voice that calls for justice, a voice that calls for the poor to be raised and the powerful to be brought down. Mary is calling for the world to be turned upside down. Erin Wathen, in her book, reminds us of Dr. King's writing of his deep disappointment with white moderates, who were more devoted to order than to justice, who preferred a negative peace, which is the absence of tension, to a positive peace, which is the presence of justice. Mary's calling for true peace, positive peace, the peace that comes from justice, not the negative peace of just getting along. So my question to me, to you, is how often are we like Zechariah? Skeptical, doubting, afraid of change, trapped in the status quo, afraid that if we shake things up, we won't be able to deal with the consequences. And what would it mean to move from that stance to singing with Mary? To stop letting our fears control us. To speak out with vision and passion. To claim whatever power we do have. To work for peace. Real peace. Shalom. The fullness of God's peace. I don't care if you don't believe in the virgin birth. I do care if we don't believe that we're called to positive peace, to work for justice, to move beyond our fears, and I have many, to try to say, this is the truth, the light of God that we know in Christ Jesus that brings liberating love, that can set us free, that can help us, thank you for your sharing, Leslie, turn back around and walk back up those steps and try again. And I confess, can shake me, and I confess to you, if I was inappropriate in what I said about Ron, please forgive me. It's been a hard week, couple weeks for me too. God is at work in us, and that's what we have to believe. Let us open our hearts. Let us say, "Thy will be done." Help us to live that way.